Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk, and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador Laurie Blake.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
How's it going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very, very well.
It is very hot in this room.
It is warm. We've just been doing a part of our Wrestle Talk Get Better, the Muscle Man Dance.
Yeah, so for those of you who might know, who might just be pod swafters only, I lost the season, the Wrestle League Season 2 punishments. I lost Wrestle League Season 2, so I had to do the punishment video, which was the Muscle Man Dance from Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse. So we've been recording that today. For the last hour or so, we've been doing various different shots, and I was a sweaty mess by the end of it. And I'm still a bit of a sweaty mess.
But just think, you're going to look like Bray Wyatt at the end of it.
So, oh, yeah, I suppose. That's always good. That's, yeah.
Which is what he said in the video, and I believe him entirely.
I really hope as well that he sees it.
I
feel
so.
Like he might be the sort of, like, he might be the sort of person.
He keeps
that
tweeting Cultaholic, doesn't he?
And that's what I mean. So I kind of hope that he watches our video as well and to be like, I like those guys. I'm going to tweet him back.
Probably not.
No, probably not.
Because Ollie's desperately tweeting everyone on a Thursday anyway.
Yeah, ruining everything. Yeah, absolutely. Ruining the entire gimmick. So I'm kind of hopeful that, yeah, that Bray does see it. Because I think that'd be quite funny. Because we have, so far since doing this, only Nia Jax has replied and has seen one of the videos. Mm. Stephanie didn't watch it.
I can't believe Mike and Maria Kanellis had something else on.
Well, that's what I mean. I would have thought Mike, he probably takes himself too seriously. That he just
what in you think?
Yeah,
Mike Kanellis. You takes himself too seriously.
I do, okay.
Mike Kanellis.
Well, so I'm only basing this on the one interaction I've ever had with Mike Kanellis when he got very arsy.
You cucked him
when he got very arsy with me on Twitter because his match got a really good star rating in the Observer. But he was complaining about star ratings overall.
Right.
And I was like, I think he's got, he complained, he promoted in the Wrestling Observer when he got a good star rating, but then he got a bad one. And I was like, oh, so it only really matters if you get a good one.
Mm.
Like, he was just like, our star ratings don't matter at all. I'm like, but only if you get a good one. And then he got bad. He's like, actually, Impact got really good reviews last night. And I was like, all right, mate. Calm down.
It doesn't matter. They're star ratings.
You literally just said yourself it
doesn't
matter.
They kind of don't matter.
They
don't,
and really, they don't.
It's too limited a system for too broad a subject.
Oh,
with
Dave
too
Meltzer's
many matches
it.
Happening a week.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you break your own boundaries of the system, that's like the glass elevator leaving Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, mate.
Yeah.
We're no longer in the confines of what we knew.
And then you get the sequel book, which is not as good.
Oh, this is a good question.
Yes, mate.
What would you do in Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory that got you kicked out?
See, now my Achilles heel is not so much now because I can't eat them because of gelatin, but it was Haribo. So, like, jelly sweets, are like they're my jam. So right. I would be all over.
Do you know what? In America, jelly sweets are also your jam. That's a pun on language.
I would definitely probably be killed by gummy bears.
Killed by gummy bears.
Like alive gummy bears. Yeah. That's probably what my ending would be.
I think I would lead an Oompa Loompa revolution and take over the factory for myself.
Yeah?
Yeah, that would be my goal.
How about you, Huskers the Pete boy?
You need to put your mic on, Pete. But
what?
How would you get kicked out of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
By doing some epic parkour over things I wasn't supposed to be parkouring over. That's totally it.
So none of you have got answers about chocolate.
No, that was the thing. It's going to be whatever it is. It doesn't have to be within the confines of what happens to those sweet-based idiots in that book.
That's true, yeah. Because Augustus Gloop, he drowns.
He doesn't drown, but he falls into a lake of chocolate.
He falls into a lake of chocolate. Veruca Salt, she
gets pecked to death by
squirrels.
Squirrels
is
in
she the squirrel one?
Was it squirrels in the book? Squirrels in the book, wasn't it? And then it was in the film, they changed it to Geese Who Laid the Golden Egg in the original, in the Gene Wilder film. And then in the modern film, it was back to squirrels again.
Squirrels again, yeah. So she's squirrels. Then you've got
Mike TV.
Mike TV gets stuck in a TV. There's Violet Beauregard turns into a giant blueberry.
Yep.
And Charlie, is that the five? Is that the five golden
Charlie,
tickets?
Charlie, you stole fizzy lifting drink.
You will get nothing, sir. Good day.
Good day, sir.
What a great film.
I know.
I often think about one of my favourite moments of that film is when you first see Willy Wonka coming out. Oh, this is the Gene Wilder version, of
Where
course, because and he's just like on his cane, and then the cane falls, and he falls and falls and falls and falls, and at the very last second, rolls it through and then stands up with like a ta-da.
Yeah.
It's wicked.
Yeah. And everyone was like, everyone saw that and thought, oh, we're going to send our kids in there. It's baffling.
Yeah. Although it's a much better movie than the Tim Burton version, which I think is absolute pantalons.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And they gave Johnny Depp legit like molester vibes.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, he sat down one day and thought, do you know what Willy Wonka needs to be? Dr. Evil. He's going to walk around going like, the best prizes are surprises. I'm like, you're not Dr. Evil, mate. No. You're Willy Wonka.
That's horrible.
Sound like Willy Wanker.
Tim Burton's filmmaking was just, let's make everyone look like spiders and my wife will be in it. I don't really like Tim Burton films.
I haven't liked a Tim Burton film since.
Nightmare Before Christmas is fine.
Yeah, that's okay. God, what was the last Tim Burton film that I liked? Mars Attacks.
Right.
I think it was the last Tim Burton film I liked. And I really liked Mars Attacks. That was like 98, maybe?
Yeah, that was...
Yeah. Yeah. And I love Mars Attacks. I think that film's amazing.
But no one looks like spiders, so that's
no, true.
That's against form, really. He's being quite avant-garde.
There's no Helena Bonham Carter in it.
Yeah, exactly.
No
exactly. He's trying something very different. Even his animated ones have been like Helena Bonham Carter in it.
Actually,
or someone,
yeah.
Or a puppet that looks like her. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Frankenweenie, that was one of his, wasn't it? I don't think I've seen that, though. Not sure I have. But I think people really enjoyed it. But I might be confusing that with Paranorman, because they came out sort of a similar time.
I gave up about Sweeney Todd, and then that was about it.
Oh, Sweeney Todd, mate. What an absolute waste of time
that was.
What
a travesty.
Oh, it was a travesty. Yeah. Wasn't that salt on my eyes?
You made what is quite a cool story, about like a cool and grisly story about London, into a lame thing.
Yeah. Oh. And you see the actors that are like queuing up to star in Burton movies, and you're like, Has he got all the secrets? Why did he keep getting Christopher Lee in all of his movies? Christopher Lee's got better things to be doing with his time. He's got metal albums to make, God rest his soul.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think Christopher Lee doesn't know any different. Like, he's just... Christopher Lee, he started his career making schlock, so he's quite happy to carry on doing it.
Ends my career making schlock.
It's fine.
It's fine. Right, so we got a 80% fact in, but this is quite a long 80% fact. This comes in from Jesse, who says, did you know that toilet water is possibly the cleanest water in the house, as it's constantly changed every time you flush? My mum told me this once, because I thought the cleaning of the toilet was gross. I've never bothered to look it up, because she's my mum, and I just believe her.
No way.
No?
Surely not.
It's just through all the pipe systems, which are probably gross and disgusting.
Clean and it's, yeah, but I'm sure it's but also, isn't that the water that sits in the tank?
Yeah,
like,
the system.
Yeah, rather than the water that's sort of like
coming
through the taps.
But it's got to come from somewhere, though.
Yeah, I guess. I feel like tap water would be cleaner.
I think so.
Because also when you open the tap, it pours water in that's new water.
Yeah, I don't think that
you
one.
Think. Yeah,
yeah, I'm not sure.
I think your mum was lying to make you clean the toilet.
Yeah,
which is also mean. You're basically Cinderella.
So there you go, Cinderella. We actually have had some people emailing about tattoos, which is what Jesse has emailed in here to say. I remember hearing Luke or Pete or Luke and Laurie, can't actually remember which one now, asking us to send in tattoos. Currently I have three, all of which mean... all of with some meaning, though one less than the rest. My first was on my inner forearm and is of a gash being sewn back together. I have this tattoo because I'm a former self-harmer and I used to cut my own arm. The gash being sewn back together is to signify that I'm getting my life back together and putting that part of me in my past. Second tattoo is on my left bicep with the least meaning, but I think it looks really cool. It's of a biomechanical eagle. A lot of people think it's a dragon. The tiny bit of meaning I give it is that while you can always is that with a little bit of hope, you can fly again. My third tattoo is the most important to me. It's a memorial tattoo of my friend that passed away to a brown snake bite in January last year. He was 23 and passed 5 days before my 21st birthday. I still think of him a lot and wish he was here. My lady partner gets quite upset a lot because he taught her to drive and he was just as close to her as I was to him. The tattoo design was of a deck of magic cards as I met him on a lot of Magic the Gathering night in... I met him at a local Magic the Gathering night in my town, and we played it together all the time. Set of D&D dice as we learned to play D&D together, and some of my friends, and he actually was our DM at his time of passing. My tattoo also contains a Venus de Milo that will eventually be coloured green when I can afford to be the gummy Venus de Milo from The Simpsons, because he and I were both big fans of that show. In fact, at his funeral, See My Vest by Mr. Burns and The Simpsons theme song were played when his coffin was moved from the hall and placed into a hearse before being taken to where he would eventually be laid to rest. Finally, on the tattoo is a trilby hat. The reason for that is simple. He always wore a trilby hat. I'll attack pictures of the tattoo of in this email. So here are the emails. That is the gash one being sewn back together, mm-hmm. which is very cool. Yeah, I can see why people think it's a dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's cool, though.
That is cool.
Yeah. And yeah, there's the gummy Venus de Milo. Mmm. Gummy Venus de Milo. Oh. With some dice and Magic the Gathering cards.
And a trilby hat.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice thing to do.
And there's some cats. Lovely.
Just extra bonus cats there at the end of that.
He does say there, and our two beautiful kittens, Gypsy and Charla. Very, very nice. Well, thank you so much for your potpourri of emails, Jess. We finally got through them all. So thank you so, so much. But we're going to have to draw this to a close. Harry Iverson, we will get to your tattoo chat in the outro portion of this podcast. But we've got to go now record... the show itself. And we're going to be talking about Killian Dane. What is next for him? Here's the show. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity dog. Breaking. Which, of course, is the Matt Riddle versus Killian Dane main event. So this has been on the cards for some time now. They were meant to have a match. Well, Killian Dane made his return. Oh, dearie me, I'm knocking everything over. Killian Dane made his return to NXT by attacking Matt Riddle, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was like, was under a mask, was he not?
He was wearing like a hoodie.
He was
wearing a hoodie, and then it was sort of the most obvious reveal ever. It's like, who could that giant man be?
Who's this giant hairy man? Oh, it's Killian Dane.
Oh, sorry, he wasn't actually wearing a hoodie. It was just his hair woven into a hoodie shape.
And so he laid out Matt Riddle, and then they were meant to have a match, and Dane laid him out even more, and then they had a big altercation at TakeOver Toronto, where mm-hmm. they were pulled apart, and Killian Dane knocked him off the stage. And then finally, these two had a match this week, and mm-hmm. it were great.
It was very good. Yeah, I think like I wasn't overly keen on this feud and re-debut.
Really?
As much as I thought, like, I was saying about, like, the bit where he sentons him through the stage, and then we had Matt Riddle the next week appear coming out of the gym like, I'm fine, bro.
Yeah, I'm fine,
And then
bro.
Here we got him, like, taped up and his ribs were done. It's like, that should have happened after the first time.
Yeah,
surely.
Yeah. I hear that, yeah. I mean, I've really enjoyed this. I've been really enjoying all the Dane promos, mm-hmm. and I thought the first attack was pretty badass. You're right, like,
I think the attacks have been very good, but I just feel the storytelling around it hasn't quite carried through until now. But again, this storytelling happened in the match where it was like, we've taped him up and this is going to play, obviously, like that's like the obvious warning sign of like, spot coming.
Yeah.
Involve his ribs.
And let's call a spade a spade. Matt Riddle's ribs were taped up and he was actually selling them, unlike Mr. Rollins. Mm. And like Mr. Rollins, because Matt Riddle had sort of like tape on him. It wasn't like visible tape. There wasn't like the big white bandage around to be like, oh, owie, my ribs. Ooh, yeah. This was like
Mr. Bump.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This was more like, my ribs aren't particularly good, so I just sort of taped them up here. And then Dane was using that to target, and then Matt Riddle was selling off the back of that. But it was not like the rib injury that the big white Mr. Bump bandages make it look out to be, that you shouldn't even be moving.
I can't remember who did it in NXT a while ago, though. They did that with the muscle tape in one match, and they said like someone was wearing specifically flesh-colored muscle tape to be like, they're obviously trying to tape up an injury, but pretend it's not as bad as it is.
Because,
and Mauro and Nigel was very good at saying like, that just paints a target for your opponent to say, target that limb.
It's funny, because when he came down to the ring, he attacked Dane from behind. He essentially took a play out of Dane's book. Mm-hmm. And Mauro and Nigel were there going like, and his ribs are taped up. And I was like, are they? Yeah. Because I've been conditioned by WWE to look for the big Mr. Bump bandages. Mm. And they weren't there. And I was like, I think they get wrong notes or something. They forget to do it. And then I saw the tape and I was like, oh, it's subtle.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought I think the framing of this match was right, but it should have just been done earlier.
Yeah.
Like, and I think this is exactly what needed to happen when these two met in the ring. It was so blooming good, this match.
It was blooming good, wasn't it? Because this was like, Matt Riddle ran wild early because he got the element of surprise, but then Dane was using his big strength, his big brute strength, to kind of shut him down at every opportunity. Really, really cool stuff. There was a moment where he's like, he was standing on the ribs. Oh, looked really, really painful. But then Riddle reverses a suplex that Dane was trying to hit of one of his own, and hits a deadlift German suplex. So he's the best wrestler this week.
Yep.
Oh, it was absolutely brilliant.
He does go to sleep.
Does the bro to sleep.
He does the bro to sleep, the power bomb, and then flips him over and does the flash knee. And it was like, I can't believe you've just done that to this.
And you don't
defy physics.
It was amazing.
It was so good. I love the finish as well. I love the, like, it escalates to getting the steps, and then he hits the, so like, a bit of a fudge there with the backdrop, it looked like.
Yeah, so essentially they were meant to do like the big backdrop spot onto the steps. So Riddle was going to powerbomb him onto it. But they played it up that Dane is so sweaty that Matt Riddle just slid off of him like a penguin. Just slid down his back. And he did
slip and slide.
Yeah.
And none of that hair caught him.
No, absolutely not. There was no traction whatsoever.
Like wet grass.
Yeah. I think it's because Matt Riddle's so smooth.
Mm.
Like, he's like a newborn baby.
Yeah, he's a cowabunga, dude. Off he goes.
And he just slipped off of him and like hit his face into the steps. So pretty gnarly.
Yeah, it still looked like a botch. But it looked like a botch that still sort of read as, that looked really painful.
Yeah.
And like, that looked like it would have done damage and still kind of could have been what you intended to do.
Absolutely.
And they played it well, and then Riddle ends up on the steps, and then Killian Dane hits a huge senton onto the steps, then a Vader bomb off the apron, and then puts him in the ring and hits two Vader bombs. Three Vader bombs back to back, and then pins him.
And pins him. And just like, that was it. And pinned him.
And meanwhile, Riddle's got like,
it's coughing up blood.
Coughing up blood. It was such a good, like, strong debut for Dane in the ring, and like a good way to keep him feeling like this is a proper return. We actually care about you.
And I'm not sure as well whether the blood that was coming out of Riddle's mouth was either a blood capsule to make the coughing up blood thing, or it was just he cut his lip when he did the face planted into the steps.
Yeah.
But either way, you play it up like it was, you know, coughing up blood.
They played it up like he had organ damage.
Yeah, totally.
Like he's got internal bleeding
and
or something.
It was really, really cool.
Really
and
clever.
Dane just completely stood tall. He stood tall and he walked away. Now Matt Riddle got up, pissed off, chased after him, and he sort of like locked in a sleeper at the top of the ramp, and the show went off the air. I was like, what a chaotic finish that makes me want to see the next stage of this feud.
Yeah, and I think both guys came out looking strong. Like, Riddle ran out to have a fight, like a house on fire, and already was taped up and damaged from their previous battle. So he looks like the sort of like babyface, resolute, I'm still like pissed off, I'm going to take you down. And Dane looks like this monster that can't be stopped.
Yeah.
Even though you can still play up the edge that Riddle was injured and probably shouldn't have been having a match anyway.
And there was a nice...
And got to stand, you know, Dane gets to stand tall and then get chased off down the ramp, which is such a cool moment.
And there was a really nice, like, subtle touch as well. I mean, it's like, it was massively subtle. It's probably not the right word to use. But as Dane was walking up the ramp, he was motioning to Riddle, the title belt motion, as if Dane is setting himself up to be, I'm a title contender now.
Yeah.
Whether that's the North American Championship or the NXT Championship. So that's the title of this video. It's the question we're going to get to. Where do you think he's going? I mean, I'm assuming we're going to get a return match, but where do we go from there?
Well, from there, I think Dane probably is a very good interim title challenger for the NXT Championship. He's a very good, like, not going to win it, but another, like, feather in the crown of Adam Cole or whoever's the next champion to be like, I'm a legitimate champion, mm-hmm. I'm a fighting champion, I beat this guy.
Yeah.
Because this, it's kind of crazy that this is a loss for Matt Riddle. Like,
oh, yeah.
What, he's had one other loss, I
to
think.
To Velveteen Dream?
Yeah, which was a roll-up.
I can't quite remember what the ending of that match was.
But
he's been well protected.
Yeah, he's been very well protected. And I think this, like, I think it will be a put over massively next week that this is like a huge, devastating loss for Riddle. But he's still, you know, kind of a fighting contender.
He's still ready to keep on kicking. Keep
on
growing.
Exactly. And I think this is a good thing to do while we've got Jordan Miles and Adam Cole doing their bit now that they've got to do kind of the obligatory put up, like, we're going to raise Jordan Miles up to the...
Yeah.
Like, up a bit on the card. It's good to have something for Riddle and Dane to do. And vying over the number one contendership is a very good thing for them.
I think that's a really smart thing to do.
Because I think Riddle was always going to be the shoe-in for number one contender. And this is the way to make people really feel like he properly deserves it. Because, to be fair, and Keith Lee's probably been saying it, is like, you know, your man came in and was immediately just gone like, you are one of the top guys.
You are one of our guys.
Yeah, and it doesn't, and you know, you haven't had to beat that many people of a certain caliber to get there.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair enough. I mean, I'm in agreement with you. I think that he would be a fun title contender for Adam Cole because Adam Cole can really play like the, oh my God, I'm against a fight here and I really need the Undisputed Era in my corner.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see because we are heading to War Games next. So are we getting the era inside the cage? Maybe we'll talk about that in the full review.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I can certainly see Killian Dane next year in title pictures, in title matches.
Yeah.
You know, maybe number one contenderships with Riddle, Keith Lee and Dijak being in there as well. Like, I think we can really create sort of like a new era of the top, you know, top flank of NXT. Particularly now they're going to the USA Network. They really need to sort of bolster up that main event so it's not just Cole and Gargano all the time.
Well, they've got another hour to fill.
Exactly,
it's not like, you know, they need to have proper mid-card feuds and like the top of the card feuds that don't involve the titles anymore because... Actually, the titles, they've got enough titles to make a one-hour TV show. They definitely don't for a two-hour one unless they're going to elongate all of the matches. So every match is a pay-per-view length match, but that's bad for the people performing it.
Yeah.
In terms of like to perform for that amount of time on TV.
It depends if they're also then doing it on the house show loops as well. But I would also, I don't think they need to add more titles. It's
exactly.
The last thing
they need a reason for people to like, number one, like vying over number one contenderships, blood feuds, all that kind of stuff is a very useful way to bulk out 2 hours worth of television.
100%.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
King Chopper Whopper, what are people saying up in the super chats?
They are saying, oh my god, Luke has the guns out, which is a common theme. Did you want to explain why?
Lack of guns, I would certainly say.
Well,
I mean, what's the skin?
Yeah, it's like an armistice in here.
I was going to say, what's the skinniest gun possible?
Oh, like the noisy cricket from Men in Black.
Although they pack quite a punch, and I certainly don't do that. We were recording the Muscle Man Dance Punishment video, which will be in my news episode tomorrow. So for those people who have been looking out for the Muscle Man Dance, that is when it's going to hit. I'm even wearing tracky bottoms, which are dead tight, and I'm not sure I'm ever going to get out of them because I bought some extra small ones.
We'll cut you out.
I might have to be.
Yeah, we'll call the fire brigade.
So that is why I'm wearing this, and it's also I'm too hot from doing the Muscle Man Dance. I didn't want to put on a proper t-shirt again.
Speaking of being hot, that is the general consensus is Luke looks really good in this vest.
Oh, well,
so
thank you very much. You're all too kind.
You're all lying.
And you're all lying. I sent the picture of this to my wife. She was like, "What are you doing?"
What is your job? So we'll start the super chats. A bunch of Japanese letters. Don't have to say that, but thank you. How would you define main roster? All three brands now have television, Alive, and basically share a roster pool. Is NXT main roster now? Will it be WWECW 2.0?
Now, I'm going to go with WWECW 2.0. It is a third brand, but it's the least important of the brands. Because Evolve is now essentially developmental.
Yeah, so I think it'd be really interesting to see, because all the reports that have been talking about NXT going to TV or whatever have said, Vince is going to have an oversight. Vince is going to probably put main roster talent on there to give the viewing figures, in the early days at least, that big boost that's needed. And then hopefully, you would guess the other guys get themselves over.
Yeah.
But while that's happening, are they just going to send Seth Rollins back? And then he's just going to beat everyone on that roster and immediately devalue them.
I mean, I'd made the bold claim, although, this very much doesn't look like it's going to be the case. But I thought they would do NXT Reunion, where you can send down guys like Balor, Rollins. Yeah. Not Balor, obviously, because he's got some time off. You can send Rollins, Joe, Owens, all the, Nakamura and all these sort of guys to go down there and have sort of some reunion matches facing off against some of the new talent, new crop of NXT stars, as a way to try and drive viewers into going to watch it. This weekend's Ramble actually is you and I breaking down the AEW versus NXT war and all the very interesting things that have been written about it, because long story short, Triple H is still in charge. There is no Vince McMahon involvement in this, at least according to Meltzer anyway. There's no Vince McMahon involvement in this NXT unless it starts doing poor in the ratings.
Yeah,
that's when Vince is going to get involved.
And
USA Network will have a say as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what they'll want main roster stars. Because they've just lost a load of them.
Yeah, exactly.
They know who people are because they were on their channel. So they'll be like, I don't know, maybe. They had Becky Lynch when the whole man thing was happening.
Yeah, totally,
They understand who's good, who's available. Yeah. So.
Good question, though.
Aaron Watson says, "Good morning, gents and King Chopper Whopper. I can't believe this is actually a thing now. Did any of you notice that during Mansoor's match, they didn't announce where he's from like they do for everyone else? Hope you all have a great day. Hashtag lovely time with the boys."
Did they announce everyone else? Just don't remember. I don't really mention that. I said to block out a lot of them. But that's interesting that they didn't.
Yeah. Do they? I don't even know if they do everyone else.
Yeah.
I think most.
I'm pretty sure they did for Bronson Reed. I certainly recall that one. And Mia Yim, I think. But yeah.
From the streets.
From Dash Streets. Yeah, and I think they did for Damian Priest as well. So yeah, no, it's a very good spot though. I didn't notice. Mm.
Dale Raddett said, "Hey boys, thanks for the best average content on YouTube."
There it is.
How about Dane teams with... How about Team Dane versus Team Riddle in War Games? Who would you add to the sides?
Oh, I like that a lot, actually.
Dane can have Sanity.
Poor old Eric Young. Yeah. On Team Riddle, obviously you've got Keith Lee in there. Because then you can add Dijak into the Dane side of things.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
And make it like a big monster match. Mm. Put Kushida in there on the Riddle side.
Yeah.
And
just the MMA mold.
Mate, do you know what? I mean, only because they're probably looking to push something. Maybe put Jordan Miles in there.
Yeah, and then maybe some of the Forgotten Sons. With
maybe
Ryker.
Yeah. Oh, of course, we forgot really to put Breezango in there. And but no, I'm more with you. I think, yeah, I'm going to go with Riddle, Lee, Kushida and Miles versus Dane, Dijak and the Forgotten Sons.
Mm.
Scyther versus Everyone says, I can't find a video of Enzo's Phoenix music video. Can you guys point me in the right direction or do a live rendition? It was hilarious gold. Lol.
Is it Real One? Is that what you need to search for?
Yeah, it's under Real One is the name.
But I mean, I don't know.
Because now he's going by Enzo.
I don't know why you want to search for it. That's a dreadful song.
With his consensual penis.
Consensual penis! Idiot.
What an idiot.
Prize plum.
we'll do this last one for now before we get into the rest of the show. Jobber JJ, Ollie Davidson's number one fan, says, these kinds of NXT shows make 2 hours a good idea.
Do they? I like it being the hour long. I've always enjoyed NXT because it's an hour long and it's dead easy to digest.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's going to be 2 hours with some with commercial breaks and stuff. Yeah. I just think they'll do longer promos.
It will go to about an hour and a half.
That's kind of what Raw and SmackDown are. They're just sliding scales of how long your promos are.
Yeah.
Raw's 20 minutes, SmackDown's maybe 15, NXT's 5. Like,
it is funny that actually they noted this in The Observer that come October, we are going to be jumping from 5 hours of main TV, like going across, you know, sort of national TV stations. 5 hours currently. It's going to be 10 by October because the rumor is now that Fox are looking to add a third hour to SmackDown.
Oh,
so we've got
piss off.
3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of AEW, 2 hours of NXT, and 3 hours of SmackDown.
Ugh.
A lot of hours.
Well, yeah, I think this is the thing. It's like to make, like, you know, I'm hoping that 2 hours of NXT doesn't mean they fill the time by adding in talk show segments or
get ready for that.
Random bits of, yeah, exactly. Like, Adam Cole's going to be hosting a baby contest. A baby.
That's it, the baby contest.
The baby contest in which it's like a honey boo boo.
Right, well, let's dive into the show itself. I don't know if this was just me, but I was having a lot of issues with the network today.
Mine was fine.
Mine was buffering like anything. It was like every time. And then at one point it was out of sync with like the audio and the visual. And we had a lot of reports from this at SummerSlam that they were all having massive issues trying to watch the show. We had it, but ours was absolutely fine here in the studio.
Maybe it's a traffic thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
But I quite like the new WWE network though.
I like it. Yeah, I like the way it's laid out. But yeah, it was just, I had a lot of issues with it today. Mm-hmm. And to the point where I thought my laptop was having some cock-ups.
It is rubbish on PlayStation.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I've logged into the PlayStation one before, and it is not functional.
Oh,
because
dear.
They forgot that you don't have a mouse. doesn't work very well on PlayStation, but it's very good on PC.
Undisputed Era opened the show with Adam Cole saying that they successfully defended, or he successfully defended his title at TakeOver in the performance of a lifetime, and said that the Mount Rushmore of NXT won't have Gargano, Ciampa, Balor and Nakamura. It'll just be Cole's face 4 times.
Yes.
Loved that. That was a great line. Strong said that they should all be champions. He got screwed. Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish said that they got screwed, and they showed the video footage that was there last week, that they showed on the show last week, of the Street Profits pinning the wrong man at TakeOver.
Yes. Yes.
Which is going to set up a rematch for them next week, and they also said that they want rematches.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and later on as well, you had Dream cutting a promo on Roderick Strong, and it's, me and Housemate Simon were talking about this last week. I feel like there's been some real inconsistencies with NXT. This year in particular, we had that Undisputed Era storyline. We're breaking up. That's just been dropped and we're now just fine again. And there were some times going into Takeover Toronto, which was, this is all about the Undisputed Era's rush for gold. But then the actual show itself never felt like that was a storyline.
Yeah.
Particularly the triple threat for the North American Championship. It was Dunn that got the visual pin that Dream broke up and was distracting the referee. So it felt like Dunn should have been the one that was winning the match. And it felt like we were setting up a Dunn versus Dream feud.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week, Dunn was cutting a promo saying, yeah, it's now between me and him. And I'm going to be the one that beats him, and I'm going to win the North America Championship. And then later on in this, and then later on in this show, it's back to Dream versus Roddy again.
They have absolutely, though, just been like, I think the problem with NXT is obviously because they have a taping schedule and they film like months in, like a month in advance. They film a month. WWE does everything in the background and then goes, oh, by the way, you're going to be on TV next week? Like, what? Sorry, what? You're going to go live for 2 hours? Oh, so we'll drop that, do this. It's like, oh, we're taking these guys from you? We'll drop that. And that's all they've had to do all year. So everything's just felt so disjointed and not like it's working at all. And do you know what? Actually, I think they do need to potentially swerve away from the Undisputed Era complete takeover thing. Like, I have seen spoilers for the tapings now, so I won't go into details of what's happening, but I do personally think that they should avoid the Undisputed Era complete takeover NXT, because you're about to go live to a brand new audience, and going, these guys are in charge of the whole thing, doesn't give you enough space to build enough other stars up. Whereas you can build the Undisputed Era as a faction based entirely just under Adam Cole being the champion, and those guys sort of running that bit of the division, and then you can trickle them down later on.
Yeah, and I suppose actually as well, so Triple H reportedly, he knew they were going to be going on to the USA Network at this set of TV tapings. He was telling talent, there's going to be some big news, it's going to be said on Raw, LOL, and then obviously plans change, JK. So I wonder if because he knew they were going to be going live, they can't fly Dunn out to do one set of TV tapings, which then gives you 4 weeks worth of TV. You're going to have to keep bringing him out every single week.
Yes.
So maybe there was like, well, let's just focus on Roddy. Roddy's here.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, because we're going to be up, they're going to have to start doing this week to week.
Just buy Pete Dunne a house. Yeah. Let him live.
Get him away from NXT UK, which no one's watching. Yeah. Although, and I will, have a bit of my slice of humble pie. Takeover Cardiff has sold out.
Eventually.
No, it's sold out now, apparently.
Yeah, no, I mean, but that's what I mean.
Oh, you mean it's sold out? It's sold out eventually.
Sold out eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's the thing. It's like, but this, you should now put Pete Dunne on NXT TV.
100%.
Because what's going to drive people to watch more NXT UK? Going, here's some of the guys and girls who are from that show.
Completely agree.
Get involved, mate.
Absolutely. But this segment wasn't over just yet, because Jordan Miles came out with his absolutely boring music. You can tell that CFO money are gone.
I've written that later on as well for a couple of
Shane Thorne's music, which is dreadful.
Yeah.
It's bad, isn't it?
Yeah,
you can tell that CFO money are no longer working with WWE, because it is generic.
But they've forgotten how to do a pop. Like, that's what there's no like sting at the beginning of a song. It just goes, nah, nah, nah. It's like someone was already humming it, and then you sort of overhear it as you come down the corridor.
Yeah, and I know you like
so
the song.
Boring.
I know you like the song. Pete really doesn't. I'm quite ambivalent to it. But that poppy, they said they see me in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, atmospheric when you're listening to it, wouldn't be like great like wrestler entrance music,
though,
because there's no pop to it. We kept saying as well, this is terrible music for a wrestling show, because there's nothing to pop to.
I think it worked for the promo stuff, that song, but like in a sort of context of it makes some of the bits
now
feel relevant and
now
it's got the right lyrics, but it's not a hyping song. It's not a like, here's a second of music. It's not the Austin Glass shatter noise, is it? Like,
no, absolutely not. But anyway, he's got boring music, but he was wearing a shirt and tie, and he was carrying his contract. Cole said that if Miles picks him, he's going to wipe that smile off his face, and said, you should pick Shayna Baszler or the Cruiserweight Championship or NXT UK. You're not on my level. There's nothing more damaging than wasting a title shot. And then Miles just drops the contract in front of him. And that's it. And that's it. That's going to get that next week now. Adam Cole versus Jordan Miles.
See, I wasn't into this when Jordan Miles came out, no mic, looking like an intern. And then...
Intern Miles.
Yeah, or like he was there to fix the internet.
Yeah.
Whatever he was there to do. But then I liked the bit where he just goes to hand over the contract and then just drops it and then smiles and walks away. That was really cool.
I will say that me and Simon talked about this last week, and I'm slightly disappointed that I would have liked to have seen this be a four-week build. You don't need to build this to be a takeover match. Absolutely not.
No.
But you could have done a four-week build to this match.
Yeah.
Or a three-week build to this match and made it feel like a really big deal.
But, like, you could, there's a lot of shenanigans you could have done with it, where the Undisputed duck signing the contract. Like, Adam Cole can delay having the title
Turn
match.
It into a story.
Yeah. But instead they're just going to do... you've got to imagine they're just going to do the straight match.
Yeah. And Jordan Miles will get over in defeat.
Jordan Miles will get over in defeat. Adam Cole will look like a fighting champion. That's fine, and that tells the story of Adam Cole, but it's kind of boring.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you could have had 4 weeks worth of build some drama into it, build some suspense. Hey, man, Jordan Miles might win this.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's more to have been done from this.
You could have done 4 weeks of build in which Jordan Miles has to face the rest of the Undisputed Era one-on-one each week.
Yeah.
And gets closer and closer, you know, like... gets lucky victory and then a proper victory and then gets cheated and then gets the match with Adam Cole. Like, would have all made sense.
Completely agree. Bronson Reed was being interviewed earlier this week and he said that he's the face of Oz Strong Style. Shane Thorne walks up and they're both Australians, so they're now feuding. And so that you blew your chance in the breakout tournament and we should have a
That's
match tonight.
That's not an accent. This is an accent.
You and I should have a match tonight, mate. That was it.
Yeah.
Good stuff, though. Then we got Mansoor versus Damian Priest. Now, I will say, Mansoor's got banging music.
Yeah.
I like the Mansoor theme. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
I like his new jacket as well.
Oh, mate.
It's good.
I am a Mansoor Mark. I'm a Marksaw. Mm. I think he's pretty terrific, actually. They did put over that he was the winner of the Super Showdown Battle Royal, which Pete reliably informed me recently was not a 50-man Battle Royal. It was a 51-man battle royal. They miscounted.
What?
Yeah. So you could have actually promoted it as an even bigger battle royal than it already was.
He was the 51st man.
Who was the 51st man, Pete?
Probably Mansoor.
Oh, probably Mansoor. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah,
probably Mansoor. Anyway, Damian Priest, they did some cool agility stuff in this. I did like the bit when they were doing... Was this the one with the leapfrogs, or was that a later match? Oh, that was the Bronson Reed match I'm thinking mm-hmm. of. A lot of wrestling on this show today for the hour that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Mansoor hit a big dive, and I thought it
was
slingshot.
Mansoor did a backflip out of a choke slam, which I thought was one of my favourite moments in this. He's like, Priest goes to lift him up for a choke slam, and he just goes, wee, out of it. And I was like, what? And then that's when he did the big topeak on Hio.
My favourite, actually, was the slingshot neck breaker. I thought that looked really cool.
Yes, yeah. I think he's used that as a finish previously. So,
I thought it looked really nice. But a discus slowed down by Priest, and he hit his move for the win.
Yeah, I'm not bothered.
Yeah, maybe Damien Priest should have been on Killian
Priest's
Dane's team.
Weird... crucifix bomb thing that he did as well was odd.
I
was like, it was sort of a crucifix power bomb, but then he sort of also just chucks them to one side. So I was like,
see
ya. He falls down. I was like, no, I don't get any of this move.
Yeah,
and I still don't get the crossroads as the finisher, the reckoning.
Yeah, and I don't really get his character.
It's rubbish.
I'm not into Damian Priest.
Put him
at the
back to be Punishment Martinez.
Yeah, I'm not into it at the
put
moment.
Put it back, WWE.
They promoted that NXT is moving to the USA Network. Still doesn't feel like a big deal at the moment. But I think that's because they barely mentioned it on SmackDown and they cancelled the Raw announcement.
Well, I think this is the thing. Is like saying on NXT we're moving to TV now is only relevant to those fans that already watch NXT, which is a small subsection of WWE's overall audience.
You did have to mention it though.
You do have to mention it, and I thought this was a very classy and nice way of doing it. I liked Nigel saying thank you so much to everyone who's watched from the beginning, and like, you know, you're the reason that this is happening. But you know, like, there's a lot of reasons why this is happening. I just thought this was a nice way to frame it.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be nicer if WWE felt like they were making a much bigger deal of it, like going like announced on WWE.com.
Yeah,
it goes on WWE.com. I think to get to the network.
I was going to say we do, but that's to get images for our videos. Would, That's the only reason I would have to go to that site. I'm hoping they do something big on Raw and SmackDown next week. And I'm actually fully expecting them to do so as well, particularly in the weeks leading up to its debut.
Well, you've got to imagine they've got to have some NXT talent actually do something on those shows. And you've got to give them a win.
Street Profits are right there.
Yeah, but we can't build NXT on USA off the back of the Street Profits being backstage hanging out with Kathy Kelly being like, what's in your solo cup? Like, rubbish.
Yeah. I mean, at least we'll get Kathy Kelly on TV. Mm-hmm. Mia Yim versus Vanessa Bourne was up next, so I guess we've dusted them off again.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Aaliyah gets involved straight away. They tagged Yim with a sticker that says lower, which is a lame gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
And then Yim fires back, hits the protecting neck for the win. Basic stuff, but, you know, I really like Mia Yim.
Yeah.
And I really do like the pairing of Vanessa Bourne and Aaliyah. I do think they have got something about them. I don't like the sticker thing. I think that's really naff.
Yeah, I think they need...
Wins?
A bit more. Well, they need wins and they need a bit more scripting, I think, for the promo stuff. Like, it needs a bit more thought to it than, like, I don't really like the snooty, you're lower than us kind of thing. That needs to be wittier and clever. I don't know what that is. I'm not capable of doing that myself. But
no.
Somebody needs to do that.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, they're the Iconics 2.0.
Yes.
But they're not as good as the Iconics.
The Iconics are so funny. Like, and I think that's the thing. It's like, they're not the Iconics were never like in that higher echelon of the female talent on NXT, but they put themselves over because they're so funny. And I think they got over quite well on the main roster through backstage segments and things, and like all the WWE.com exclusive clips of the Iconics having meltdowns. It's so funny.
Should have been on TV. Then actually I thought the follow-up was really, really good to this, which was Shayna Baszler's music hits. Crowd are super into both of them here as well. Lots of chance for Yim, loads of chance for Baszler. And Baszler says, you know, hey, you're badass. You took me to the limit, but we shouldn't be enemies. Instead, you could stand right beside me, which I thought was a wonderful line. It's not like, let's work together. It's, no, you're going to stand beside me.
Yeah, yeah, no, I like it.
That was a nice line.
Under the wing of the dragon.
Under the wing of the dragon.
So good.
And, Duke and Shafir surround the ring. Obviously, Jessamyn Duke's not getting involved because her arm's very owie. Mm. But Shafir and Baszler just beat the crap out of her, and the referees ran to break it down. I thought this was actually really good. It's a bit of a shame that this angle was done now. It almost felt like this angle should have been done first and then built to their Toronto match, and that's why Yim was taking them all out.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That was a weird angle, and it definitely felt like it was Yim's time to win, but I can see why, considering the stuff is looming about USA, you would keep the belt on Baszler, because then you can use the Ronda Rousey angle to make it seem like a much bigger deal.
Yeah. I did like this segment. This was a cool segment. Yeah.
And do you know what? Like, if you're going to go to a new channel, why not replay your hits? Like,
absolutely.
Why not just replay the hits?
Why not? Do you know what else was awesome? This next segment was awesome. Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic.
Domino's Pizza.
It's going to happen next week. And they were showing recaps of their time in Evolve and around the independent scene, where essentially Lee versus Dijak was like the Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko. You know, it's like if you're a promotion, you book Guerrero Malenko, and that draws people to come and see you. Keith Lee, Dominik, and Dijak was like that. And they were sort of showing how they've just sort of been all over the world having these matches. Mm-hmm. And then Dijak says that Lee joined NXT and was propelled while I had to train. I'm like, I don't quite remember it going that way. Yes, he was signed with NXT, but his gimmick for the last few weeks has been, I've been here for a year and done nothing.
I think Dijak meant that Keith Lee was signed and got to go on TV almost immediately. And he had to stay at the Performance Center until
didn't quite come across like that. Yeah. But he said Dijak said that he made Lee a star, but there's a price to pay for that. Mm-hmm. So that was a great, great line. They showed the finish to the match they had on NXT, which, man, what a lifetime ago that feels like.
Yeah.
We've been building to this match for some time now due to like various injuries and this, that, and the other. And
so excited to see it.
Lee sort of about, hey, we don't want to end it this way. We're going to have a big match next week. And yeah, really good interviews from both men. Loved the way this was shot. Loved the way this was edited. Loved the way this was presented. Got me super hyped for the match next week.
And I think it's that thing, isn't it? It's like, you know, they put over the idea in this promo that this is the meeting of two hyper athletes. This is a 6'7" guy who can do spinning flips off the top rope. And this is a like 400-pound guy who can do spinning flips.
Oh, this
it's
was
just they're
rad.
Both complete freak athletes, and like it is a spectacle to watch them just bang into each other in weird, increasingly athletic, weird, jumpy, acrobatic ways.
Absolutely. I genuinely can't wait for this. I think it's going to be an awesome match. Really, really good stuff. We next got Bronson Reed versus Shane Thorne. This was where we had the spot that I thought was in the Priest matches, where Thorne was doing leapfrogs, but then Bronson Reed just caught him in one of the leapfrogs and just powerbombed him into the earth.
Yes,
it was cool. Right. Really woke the crowd up as well, because the crowd weren't massively into this match at the start, but that one spot made the crowd go like, oh, God. Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better way to bury your breakout talent that you were trying to put over a week ago. You know, you take the choice crop of Jordan Miles and you go, well, he's going against Adam Cole now. Everyone else from that, though, they're just going to take on Shane Thorne. Who's basically now got the Legend Killer gimmick, but for noobs.
That's it. He's got the noob.
The
gimmick.
Noob Killer gimmick.
Yeah. Because they are talking about like he's running through the breakout tournament stars, because he did get the wind here. Although Reed was on top for a lot of this match, Thorne tripped him up when he went to the top rope and then hit an amazing Shining Wizards for the win.
I think Thorne's really good. I just don't think he has the credibility to elevate these guys while also getting his own wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't. And I get the idea that now Shane Thorne will run through these lot, and there will be the guy who stops him, and he will also get sort of the rub of that. But that's, again, lowering all these guys down in terms of how proper they feel in terms of their sort of like wrestling acumen.
Yeah, which I think is a fair enough.
I just think that Shane Thorne was not the man for this gimmick. Like Cassius Ohno also wouldn't have been the guy for this. It needs to be someone slightly like Keith Lee could have been the guy to do this. He could have, like, Keith Lee's promos previously were about, you know, all these other people getting elevated, there's a breakout tournament, whatever. He would have felt like the right talent to run through everyone if they were going to do a heel turn for Keith Lee.
Yeah.
Dijak would have been perfect for this as well. Like, there were so many guys you could have used that felt like a presence, and Shane Thorne, unfortunately, is not that guy.
Plus, his music is awful. Not his fault, of course, but it is bad. It is bad. The Velveteen Dream was then brought out on his sofa, and he goes through his merchandise doing the MasterCard gimmick, where you're like, this T-shirt, £30. These sunglasses, £15. Me beating Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong at TakeOver Toronto, priceless. Missed that old gimmick, the priceless gimmick. And he said now the spotlight is on Strong, and he's going to have to give the Dream an experience he's never seen before. So yeah, very much setting up that it is going to be Dream versus Strong going forward. Yeah.
What does that mean, though? Give me an experience I've never seen before. What is he after?
Backbreakers.
Backbreak, yeah, I guess. You've seen that, though.
Yes.
He got a few of them at Toronto.
He did, indeed. And then we got the announcement that it is going to be Adam Cole versus Jordan Miles next week, and the Street Profits versus the Undisputed Era for the tag titles, and then we got the Killian Dane versus Matt Riddle main event. Overall, I thought it was a fun show.
I actually think it's really good. I think there's a few little quibbles with the current state of NXT's storytelling and the fact that it seems to be a bit all over the place. But other than that, I think the wrestling in this show was really, really good.
Yeah. And I feel like people think that I'm really down on NXT going to USA, but I'm actually stoked for it. I mean, the only reason I'm a bit down on it is because we're now into trying to figure out how we're going to review all these bloody shows.
Yeah.
But,
it's a bit inconvenient there's two on one day.
Very much so. But I'm stoked. Absolutely stoked for it to go to TV and for it to be 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Me and Ollie recently were doing TakeOver Brooklyn 2015, which you and I watched back in the day. And we were talking about, like, at that time, I was so into NXT. This is for our Patreon podcast, if you're not aware. We're so into it. I was so into that brand at the time that when a show would end, I was like, I really wish that show was longer. I really want more of this show.
Yeah.
And there are times when NXT comes to an end where I do say, I want that show to be longer.
This show could have been on with being longer. Like, we could have seen what happened with Riddle.
Exactly, yeah. I could do with this show being longer. I could do with seeing more of these stars. Mm-hmm. I think more of these stars need some more TV time. So I am absolutely stoked it's going to 2 hours. I think they're going to do some really good stuff.
I think it's going to be super fascinating as well, because this is, you know, if everything else is saying is true, and it's Triple H running it until the ratings might go badly and Vince might step in, this is what we've all been saying about Raw and SmackDown, like, can't wait for Vince to leave, can't wait for Triple H to have full control. We're going to see what the television product that Triple H will put out there finally is.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is very, very exciting. Pete Quinnell, sorry. Chopper Whopper, Pete Quinnell. What are people saying up in them super chats?
My liege.
So
my birthday leash.
It's definitely still not my birthday. We're gonna start with Foreskin Max, great name. Last super chat for a while. I start school soon. Course next week. I just found out I'll be going to the same school as Renee Young.
Wow. I didn't even know Renee Young was going to school. So that's cool. Well done, Renee.
The same super chatter from earlier, which has Japanese lettering, which I can't read. My fiance got tickets to the Super J Cup tonight. It should be fun with Osprey versus Amazing Red.
Yes, mate.
Love ACH, but the breakout tourney was lacking impact.
Oh, God, wasn't it just? I thought it was a real lackluster tournament in the end.
They had a stellar first couple of matches, and then it weirdly just lost steam after that. Really. I watched the last week's NXT, catching up this week. That Grimes Jordan Miles match
it went nowhere fast. Yeah, real shame. I'm a fan of ACH as well.
They just played the tournament too straight, do you think? Like, I think they, like, it needed some of that, what we were saying before, like when they did the UK tournament and Pete Dunne was the heel character going through it, they just needed somebody to have some character that transitions throughout the whole tournament. Came out and just had a very straight match, which is fine. But that's not how even indie promotions run their tournaments.
No,
look at how Progress run their Super Strong Style tournament. Like, that was so well booked.
Yeah, as Housemate Simon brilliantly put it last week, is that just going out there and having good matches isn't good enough in NXT. Like, that's not going to get you over, because everyone's going out there and having good matches. Yeah. Like, it doesn't separate you from anyone.
It just makes you, yeah, it just makes you feel like part, like you feel like a sort of boring cog in the
part world. Of the furniture.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of the furniture that Velveteen Dream gets wheeled out on.
Jay Jones says, it's dark in here. Bit sinister.
That is sinister. Mm. Let him in.
Yeah. John DiPietro, Randy Datson's number two fan, says, meow.
Meow. Wow. Lots of random chats, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Meow.
Bradley Fetzer says, chop of the morning to your King Chop or Whopper. I start my senior year of high school in a few weeks. Since NXT is now on USA, will Ollie watch NXT now?
Yeah, because it's no longer for Marks. It's on national TV now, so it's now a mainstream product. So he is going to be watching it. Mm-hmm. The current plan that we've got, I believe, is that the news episodes will have... Half of it will be AEW, half of it will be NXT. Kind of like at the moment how half of it is a Raw review and then half of it is news. It'll be half AEW, half NXT, which will be done by two people. And then the Rambles will be split into two teams as well, because otherwise I have to watch 4 hours worth of television. Mm. So it'll likely be, I don't know, me and you doing NXT, or you and Chopper doing NXT, and Ollie and Chopper, or Ollie and me doing AEW.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, lots of content going out on those Thursdays.
Oh yeah, big day. Yeah,
big days.
Flufall12 says, happy birthday, Pete. Still not my birthday.
HBD Chopper.
I'm excited for next week. Don't know what next week is. Possibly, well, we got All Out.
No, we've got Adam Cole versus Jordan Miles, and we've got the Street Profits versus the Undisputed Era. It looks NXT, like a stacked show next week.
Mm-hmm.
Did someone say stacked? Forged by Gaming says, my friends do the birthday thing to me too, King Chopper Whopper. I'm currently every years old.
Aw, mate. Happy birthday, Chopper.
I feel
Happy
your pain.
Happy birthday to your mate and Chopper.
I hate everything. Stephen Malinsky says, it's my birthday on Saturday. I turn 30. Can I get a happy birthday shout out?
You certainly can. Happy birthday to you. 30 Club's awesome.
Happy birthday to you and Chopper.
Definitely still not my birthday. Ryan B. Bad says, someone should put Aaliyah back in her closet. Also, happy chopping birthday day, King Chopper Pete.
I like Aaliyah.
Yeah, no. I
mean, there's now to her. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and I don't think she's ever had a match that I've gone, that was good. But I like Aaliyah. I think she's got a good presence about her.
I think she's been there long enough.
She's got, hasn't she, Josh?
She's certainly just been there.
She has, yes.
Do you know what? You think you can't take away from Aaliyah? She's been there.
She has she been in NXT.
Has been there,
she's
hasn't she?
Been there. Maybe mainstream TV will help.
Maybe.
Or maybe she'll just get sent to Evolve.
She'll be back in the closet for
yeah,
TV.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
Ryan Kester says, I was really impressed with Riddle's selling. It took that match to a higher level. Also, I'm unfamiliar with Dane's pre-NXT work. Can you think of any matches of his that I should seek out to learn more?
Oh, when he was Big Damo.
Big Damo.
All the stuff in WCPW. And his stuff in ICW was great.
His ICW stuff is amazing. He was so over in ICW as well.
Yeah. In fact, actually, you could probably just go... I'd imagine WCPW got all of their Damo matches up online somewhere. So you could just type in Big Damo, WCPW. Damo himself, when the Defiant unfortunately announced they were closing down, was like, this is the place that gave me my breakout. So yeah, I'd definitely go check out some of that.
Also, just on the subject of who else was selling up a storm, Mansoor.
Oh, mate, my boy Mansoor.
Great selling from Mansoor.
Mansoor rules.
On that subject, I believe Damo was the first WCPW champion. So I think there's some stuff involving titles and stuff if you're into that kind of thing. Forged by Gaming says, the thinnest gun is a straw for spitballs.
Well, there you go then. So, sun's out, straw's out.
Yep, that well-known phrase. Luke versus Laurie, arm wrestle. This says 3-2-1 go, but we're not doing that.
Think about the talk. I'm so scared of arm wrestles. Like after having watched various documentaries about people breaking their arms in arm wrestling to like short YouTube documentaries, not full length, 2 hour long. There's not really a 2 hour long investigation about arm wrestles, but you know.
I know. Sylvester Stallone tried it with Over the Top.
Yeah, like they're just terrifying.
Yeah.
Who we got next?
Reminds me think of, sorry, Joe, I was trying to think of a film which has got an arm wrestling thing. It reminds me of The Fly. You know the bit of The Fly where he does the arm wrestling and he just breaks that dude's wrist and it all like the tendons fall out and everything. Yeah. That's an amazing film.
Do you know, or just people like Commando when they just do the...
Yeah,
they
do Dylan!
It's the the Butch Man's handshake.
Mm. Nice. Sorry, Chopper, I interrupted you, mate.
You did. Finn Sly...
But it reminded me of that... I'm joking.
Says, Riddle Dane for War Games. Hi, Laurie. Happy birthday, Chopper. Still not my birthday.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly see that. Doing a rematch on a takeover show.
Yeah.
Doing it like a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yeah, you really want to build up to it. I think they probably have another match in the interim that doesn't go, that goes awry.
Yeah.
Or maybe Riddle gets a win back.
And then you do the
and
big...
And then you do a big blow-off match that, you know, is the decider.
Mm.
Scyther versus Everyone says, oh, I was talking about your guys' Enzo impression you guys did in a video. One of you guys did it. It was hilarious. I don't know which one of us did that in a news.
Did one recently.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because when that song came out, I wasn't around. Yeah. I was on holiday somewhere when the song was released. Because
you and Ollie
did the Ramble episode for it, mm-hmm. where you reviewed it.
He just sounds like his voice hurts the whole thing. Like, my conceptual penis!
I just thought it was such a funny start to your rap career where you're like, the only people who are going to know who you are wrestling fans. And the first thing you do is say that, well, wrestling fans smell and are rubbish.
Mm.
What an absolute moron.
What a heel turn.
Yeah.
Ricky Partridge says, I'm disappointed that no one yesterday referred to fake Rowan as Foen.
Foen.
Oh, that is good.
It is very good.
I like that a lot. Mm. Yeah. You're smarter than all of us.
Mm. John DiPietro, Randy Dance's number two fan, says, say Undisputed Era win next week. Do you think the first episode of NXT Live, I'm guessing on USA, will feature Roddy beating Dream for the North American title to make Undisputed Era draped in gold?
Certainly could do, yeah. Do a big title change on your first show.
To, yeah.
Like, yeah, get people interested.
I don't think that's something they should do. I think that's something they might do.
Mm.
But I don't. I think you want to build that story up. Like, I feel like you almost have to, if you go to USA, you almost have to start again in terms of storytelling and like realize that yes, there is crossover, but not everyone's going to know about it.
So absolutely not,
you need to start telling the stories of like the characters again. They should attempt to round everything off before then.
Well, let's say, for example, there's 1.5 million subscribers on the network. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 1.5, 1.6, maybe it's even less than that. USA Network's available in 89 million homes. You know, not everyone watches NXT either on the network. So if you say like a third or, you know, two thirds of it watch, that's a way lower than the amount of homes that USA is available mm-hmm. in it and the amount of audience you could possibly get.
Yeah.
So you need to like really, it needs to be a sort of a hard reset.
Yeah. You can't think of it as the Marx brand anymore. Like, you know, the people who are super wrestling fans come to this and they know all about it. And that's why we'll just do shows for these people.
Yeah.
You need to go, this is now starting at a mainstream audience and needs to be explained for a mainstream audience. Hopefully that doesn't take away from the product and they think about it in the same way they do Raw and SmackDown. But hopefully they do start the stories again.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I think they might have a severe drop off of viewers.
Could
people going
be.
Like, what?
What is this?
Who?
What we got, Pete?
Tana Starika, which is a super chat I missed earlier, sorry, said, NXT is all fun and games till Vince renames Pete Dunne the Bruiserweight Experience, Matt Riddle, Bro Van Dam, and treat Undisputed Era like Nexus. Yay!
You know, that's not going to be too... Yeah, I don't think Vince is going to be involved, and so the ratings are terrible. Then he will.
Yeah.
Then things might change.
But then it'll just be The Undertaker turns up.
Yeah.
Tanner Starika again says, watch Seth Rollins become NXT champ as well as Universal champ because Seth is cool, and that Seth is cool is formatted like the SpongeBob meme, the text.
He's all over Seth and he's all over down on Vince and NXT.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say as well, I said this on SmackDown or the Raw episode or something. Raw's been great as of late.
It has.
Like, and apart from last night's SmackDown, SmackDown's been pretty good as well. So I'm actually not even down on Vince being in charge of NXT.
Wow.
The same super chat continues saying, also, will Walter be main roster or Imperium? Them versus Undisputed Era equals epic.
By all accounts, the reason why Walter is in NXT UK is because he doesn't want to live in America. So that is very unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't want to live in America or sort of work long times in America because he still wants to be working in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think we're going to be seeing Imperium. You know, never say never, though.
Anthony James says, do more Cole best NXT champion promos leading into USA debut. Have Rollins make a shock appearance on the first show and have that as the main event.
Well, Rollins versus Cole.
Rollins versus Cole.
Yeah, I'm into it, mate. I'm into it.
Or have Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens, Cole would be an awesome match.
Tanner Starika again says, you missed my first super chat sad face, which I've now read out. Sorry about that. Foskin Max says, the same school Renee went to still in high school. Yeah, I think we got that. But
yeah.
Yeah. Tomo says, happy stacked birthday, King Chopper Whopper Pete. Thanks, still definitely not my birthday. The Adnap 2 says, tell that guy to watch Big Damo's matches in Rev Pro against Tomohiro Ishii, Nakamura, and Speedball Mike Bailey.
Speedball! Speedball's the man. Speedball's rad. Yeah, watch all those.
All those sound like great matches. I haven't seen any of them, but now I really want to. Tim Arndt says, thanks for getting me through the last few stressful weeks, guys. Looking forward to more lovely times with the boys.
A lovely time with the boys. Very welcome, Tim. Hope all is okay with you, pal.
The headmaster, Jonathan Headman, says, theme song change for NXT on USA. If so, go back to the roar in the crowd. Also, happy birthday, Chopper Whopper. Thanks, still not my birthday.
No, I'd imagine they probably got like a contract deal where it's, you know, you get this song for X amount of months.
Mm.
That's what I'd imagine. That's how I would have thought the deal works.
Probably, yeah. And finally, thank you to Chad Rick Clark, who donated but without a message.
Thank you so much. This email comes in from Harry, who says, hello to all the WrestleTalk lads, apart from Andy Datsun. Bit of a delayed response to the tattoo talk from a few NXTs ago, but I thought I would share my tattoo with all of you lot. For years now, I've wanted a tattoo, and I've always wanted a similar design. But I've always wanted a tribal-style tattoo, but could never get the right kind of it, until I discovered Polynesian-style tattoos, which is what, like, Roman and the Usos have. Found a perfect template, but it had one problem that it needed... that needed sorting, which was a star. Along comes my musical taste to add something special to the already meaningful tattoo, as Polynesian tattoos are supposed to tell a story in certain ways. I had the star shaped to and replaced with the Red Hot Chili Peppers logo in the tattoo, as they're a big influence on my life, apart from my dad and granddad, who are also a big part of this first tattoo. The Chilis are my biggest influence in music. I play better and thrive to work harder because of them, and just used to play drums because of... I used to play drums, but because of them, I picked up the bass. Now I create music, and I'm proud of, and I would love to share with you. They brought my brother and I closer than ever before. We used to never used to get along, but he was a cool kid, and I was a weirdo who was bullied all my life. Yet my first concert I ever saw was with my brother seeing the Red Hot Chili Peppers. The rest of the tattoo in my own way is a reminder of all the hard work and dedication of my granddad and dad. The tattoo is nowhere near done, but it's perfect, and I couldn't have asked for anything better. I sat in the chair for 6.5 hours, the first sit, and 3.5 hours in the second sit, and it cost me £300 to £450. Can't quite remember how much. Attached the three pictures of the process of the tattoo, then went through to the bones of it, filling out all the black lines. So there it is. And then you can see the Chili Peppers logo in there. That's and then cool. With the thicker lines, and that is with even thicker lines.
That's cool.
It's cool stuff, man.
First concert I ever went to was Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Really?
With my brother.
Wow. There you go. My first, technically I suppose it's Reading Festival. So I'm not sure that particularly counts.
No.
But I suppose my...
Festivals for scumbags.
They are. I think my first like solo gig I went to... God, who would it have been? Might have been CKY.
Mm.
Might have been, you know. I can't quite remember.
Mine was Chili's in Hyde Park, and they were supported by Stella Starr, who, funnily enough, are not going anymore, James Brown.
I was at this gig.
Yeah.
I was at this Hyde Park gig.
Yeah. What a travesty James Brown was.
He had a guy to come out to introduce the guy that comes out to introduce James Brown.
James Brown had a band do everything for him, and he was just doing a one-hour-long version of Sex Machine while everyone else did all the other songs, and he would just go, Sex Machine! Get out! Blah, blah, for the whole thing. And it was... I mean, he wasn't long for this world after that.
No, he wasn't.
But yeah, like, it was... Watching a man remember he's on stage doing a song and then just go, that's a machine.
I remember I went with a friend of mine who was massively into the backing vocals of John Frusciante, so that's all he was singing. Like, he wasn't singing any of the other like words. He only wanted to sing the backing vocals.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he was well into it. This comes in from Abraham, who says, hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Pete, Simon, Blake, Ham, Tomo, Jobba, Jay, Tim, Arn, Xandermania. There's too many people to help. Oh, my God. Speaking of needing help, Caleb Braxton level segue. I was biking home from school today. It's around 10 p.m., and I was coming home from a school party. To give you some exposition, there are no streetlights in my town. I was really happy because I spent time with my crush and I just wanted to get home because my phone was at 8% and I've been partying for 2 hours. Granted, it's 14-year-old partying and I was listening to a WWE playlist. Yes, Luke, people do listen to WWE themes. And then there was a light on my bike which was bright enough. So Alistair Black's theme had just finished and the next song was up was The Fiend's. And you know how the song where it goes, yowie wowie, at the start of the song? Well, as soon as it says, let me in, the lights on my bike turned off. I could barely see anything. And then this guy comes right in front of me. And because he couldn't see me, I slammed on my brakes. I'm okay. But just as I'm starting again, I swear to God, my brain went, oh my God, it's the Fiend. I was legit terrified. I don't believe I'd ever think the Fiend is near me like that, like Luke did in his story, but he's really following me. In case you're wondering, the light started working in a minute or two, specifically a few seconds after the song finished.
Ooh.
Scary stuff, mate.
Maybe he's actually got magical powers.
Maybe he has. This comes in from Zach, who says, hello, said boys, the lovely times are engaged with... but not Randy. Just wanted to send an email to say thank you for all the content you produce. I spend much of my day on the road between jobs, and your podcast really seems to make the journey fly by. My lady partner doesn't really fancy WWE, but does describe your content on YouTube as watchable. Keep up the good, amazing work, all you do, and I wish you the success in your future endeavors. Cheers, the incredible Tarzo from Patreon.
Freaking success, mate. Watchable.
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 It's all you can strive for.
Yes.
He says, P.S., the Australian swatted should be called...
doesn't make your eyes bleed.
The Australian swatters should be called Dunder Swafters. We have a bar here in Brisbane called the Down Under Bar, but it's also known as Dunder. Thanks again.
The Dunder-headed Swafters.
Dunder-headed Swafters. I was going to say, that's all I think. Yeah. Or Dunder Mifflin from the US Dunder office. So I think we're going to stick with Swaff Dunder from now on until anyone can come up with something better. Because I'm not sure I can go with the Dunder Swafters just yet.
No.
Yeah. Shout outs to fellow Fledgehammer, Christopher Jenkins, who said, hello, Luke and the boys. Quick memory refresher on who I am. I'm the paramedic from Sacramento, California, who's been a diehard WrestleTalk fan since early 2017. We almost met in person right before you changed studios. Since I found WrestleTalk, I've written a letter that at one point was framed and hung up in the old studio, became a $25 Pledgehammer, formed the WrestleTalk themed hammer, sent you t-shirts and action figures that I still see on the set from time to time. It always puts a smile on my face. There are more things coming your way that I wanted to tell you about as soon as they're finalized, but we'll let you know that I bought tickets for Hell in a Cell on October 6th, just 2 days after SmackDown moves to Fox. Our seats are 10th row, front and center level, facing the hard cam, and I'll be making a classic support WrestleTalk sign to hold up. Also, don't want to, and then just talk about something else. Thanks and cheers, Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins. Thank you very much, and hope you enjoy Hell in a Cell.
Put your banner on a hammer.
Yes, that's what you need.
I'm sure
they'll
let you take that into a stadium.
Absolutely. I'm going to read this out. I'm going to save that for this Saturday show because I want to try and get that out to the widest audience possible. We've not time for this. No, it's a bit too long. Might have to bring it to a close there, but we've got a Rusev Hey that we'll read out on the Saturday show. But until then, enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.